Chapter 3, turn there, please. Please turn there, because I want you to see these few verses with your own eyes, because it's important. So, I sounded so desperate. Please turn there. Please. Please turn there. Exodus chapter 3. We're continuing our series looking at essentials of Christian belief, the things that we gotta believe as Christians, and we're moving right along, you know, we're making good progress. So far, we've covered the inerrancy of Scripture. We also looked at the fact that God is real, that God is a being. And then last week we looked at the omnis of God, that God is omnipotent, all-powerful, that God is omnipresent, everywhere present, and that God is omniscient, all-knowing. And we've had our mind blown, right? The last few weeks. It has been mind-boggling. But tonight, we're going to take a different aspect of looking at God. And I think it's going to be really helpful for each of us. It should be helpful to each of us, just in our understanding of God thus far, but it's also going to help in the way that we interact with God in our personal relationship with Him. So, Exodus 3, verse 11, let's all stand on our feet. Yes.
No.
So, here, we're going to pick things up in verse 11, but just so you know, God is speaking to Moses through the burning bush. Moses has got his shoes off because it's holy ground. Take your shoes off. Just kidding. Okay. Dumb. Gross. Ew. No. But he's telling Moses to go and deliver the people of Israel from slavery. Deliver them from slavery. So, in Egypt. So, verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. That's God. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Ooh, that's a complicated sentence. Verse 15, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to come to your word to get to know you more and understand the foundations of our faith and the foundations of our relationship with you. We pray that what you speak to us would be clear and understandable, that we would grow deeper in you, and that we would, as a result of what we learned tonight, better understand you and our relationship and the way that we interact with you. Please speak through me to each and every one of us. Let each word that I speak be of you to the hearts of us, we pray. We pray that we would all take something, even if each of us takes something different, that we would all take something, apply it to our lives, and grow deeper in you. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. So what we've done in this series thus far is we're starting every teaching with a question. So you can feel free to raise your hand or just shout out your answer to this question. Last week we asked, how would you describe God? And this week we're asking the question, who is God? Who is God? How would you answer this? Josh.
The creator and the center of the universe.
The creator and the center of the universe. Of all the universe? All universes.
All universes.
All multiverses. Ooh, getting physics. Yes.
I am.
Oh, wow. Where'd you learn that? That was a good one, though. That was really good. Anybody else? Who is God? Jerry.
The I am.
Okay. Wow. You really one-upped in there. Anybody else?
The
Who is God? It doesn't need to be like super smart. You can just be like, okay. God, what do you expect? Okay, I feel like that's a good enough answer. Josh, last one. Oh, stretching your arm. Okay, that's cool too. So, this is an interesting topic because there's a lot of debate amongst Christians about who God is. Because a lot of us connect with God in different ways, and it's very personal to a lot of people. But there are some specific things about God that we as Christians must believe. We must know them, and we must believe them. Now, up to this point in this series, all we've really done is looked at if God is and what God is. You know what I'm saying? So if God is and what God is. And most of these have been things that are really essential for our belief as Christians, but they've been really difficult to comprehend. A God who is beyond existence, who's able to be when nothing is, blows my mind even still. And a God who is all-powerful, a God who is everywhere present, not limited by space, blows my mind. But what we're going to be looking at tonight is going to be easier for us to comprehend, and this is going to be important for us. It's kind of going to be a little break from these huge, like, hard-to-comprehend topics, but really important, really good. So, oh, I lost my spot. So, what we're going to do tonight is look at not what God is, grasping what God is, but looking at the personal aspects of who God is. Because just as much as God being a spiritual being who is outside of our comprehension and beyond existence, he's also a person. And a person that is very knowable and a person that is very lovable. Now, when I say person, I don't mean that God is a human being walking around in flesh currently and like that is God. What we have to do when we say person is we have to look at the theological definition of a person. And here is the theological definition of person. An individual being with a mind, emotions, and a will. That is the theological definition of a person. And God is an individual being. He's not a human being, but he is one and he is real. He has a mind. He's able to think and process things and make decisions based on those things and respond to things. God has feelings. Unlike us, his feelings are perfect and they're not fallen and they're not leading him astray like so many of ours do, but God still has emotions. God has desires and plans. God makes plans for you. God has a will. So God is, in the theological sense, very much a person. But even then, there are some things about him that we must know. Being a person, being the personal God that we must know and believe as Christians. And this is going to be really good for us, seriously, because we're seeing God as personal. We're seeing the true, the one, the living God, not as this huge and expansive concept as though he is. He is that, and we still need to understand he is, but we're going to see that he's personal. So these things tonight, they're going to be a lot more clear than everything we covered so far. They're going to be easier to understand, and they're going to be really tangible, but they're still very important because there's a lot about God. There's a lot about God that we do not know for sure, and it's open to interpretations. Different people interpret it different ways. Different groups of Christianity interpret things different ways. But we're going to look at tonight. The list that I'm going to give you tonight are the essential beliefs of who God is. They're not up for debate. They're not up for different interpretation. And I'm going to be really clear about these points. So people claiming to be Christians who do not agree with these personal aspects of who God is I would argue that they are not worshiping the true and living God, but that they are worshiping a false idol that they have established themselves. Whether it's through a lack of faith, whether it's through not looking at the Bible and taking what they know through science or what they know through philosophy and applying it there, they are not worshiping the true and living God. So these are very important. They're going to be easy to understand, but they're going to be really, really important. So all we're going to do tonight, really simple, is we're going to look at a list of six personal aspects of who God is. That's it. Six personal aspects of who God is. I encourage you, if you get confused, ask questions. If you get concerned, also ask questions. Take pictures of the screens. Take notes. Do it all. Seriously. And realize there's so much more about God that we should know and we should understand, but these are the essentials. These are things about the personal God, who God is, that we need to agree on, that are not up for debate, that are not up for question and interpretation. These must be agreed on. So we good? Okay, so first thing, God's name is this. Say that.
Yahweh.
Oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow. Look at you guys. Okay. So, God actually has a name. Did you guys know this? God has a name. Most of the time, no, listen. Most of the time, we call God by labels like God or Lord or Spirit or Father or Savior. Josh. But God has an actual name. He has a real name that he goes by. And he tells us in Exodus 3 verse 14, the passage that we opened with. Moses asks, "What should I tell people your name is?" when they ask. And God says to Moses, "I am who I am." That is God's name. And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, my name, has sent me to you." That's God's name. Well, that's God's name as close as we can translate it to English. But what it would literally be are four letters, and the closest we can get those four letters to English is YHWH. That's God's name. That's like, you can call God by that. Now, there's a lot of, no one really knows how to pronounce it. There's a lot of different ways. A lot of people are just unclear on how to pronounce it. But most people say Yahweh. Yahweh. The original, like, pronunciation of I am who I am would be Haya Haya. Haya Haya. Yeah, I know, really interesting. But that is God's name. It's not a label, it's not a title, it's his name. That's just, it's important to know. And you'll find his name written in your Bible in a few different ways. You'll see it as Lord, all caps. When you see L-O-R-D, all caps, that is the name of God, Yahweh. Writing it in English, the best we can. You'll also see Y-H-W-H in some translations. You'll see Yahweh in some translations. And you'll see Yehovah or Jehovah. And those are God's name translated into English. The name of God. He has a name. And you can call him by it. You can call him I am. Technically, that's like saying someone's name in your own language, which is kind of weird. But when you say Yahweh, when you pray Yahweh, you are speaking to God. You are speaking the name of God to God. And its closest meaning in the human language, as we saw, is I am who I am. Existent within himself. Self-existent. That is the name of God. Second, and something I think you guys will find interesting, God is a he. God is a he. All throughout the Bible, God is spoken of in masculine form. We see as early as Genesis chapter 1, the pronoun he is used to speak of God. God spoken of as a father, I think more than 160 times in the Bible. And when Jesus enters human form on planet Earth, he is a human male. And that's not just like happen chance. That is God. That is God there. Now, important here. This does not mean that God is a physical, biological male. Don't think that God is a biological male. He's beyond humanity, beyond existence. God does not have a biological sex. It's not necessary for him. God doesn't need that. What it means is that the person in the spirit of God is a he, or is masculine. So here's the mistake that is often made, especially right now. Many Christians are making this mistake where they say that God is a she, or that it doesn't matter if God is a he or a she, or that God is just as much a mother as he is a father. Like if you had a great father figure in your life, then God is more of a mother. If you had a poor motherly figure in your life, or no, if you had a great...
Yeah.
I'm confused. That confuses me. If you had...
If you had a good father.
And many Christians are taking this view right now. And it's nothing new. Many people have been doing it throughout so much of time. But it is wrong. It is a mistake. It is not the true and living God. God is masculine and God is a he. A lot of people are saying that God is just an it. This is becoming really popular right now, that God is just an it, that he's neither masculine or feminine. And a lot of Christians are moving in this direction, and it is wrong. So we need to understand, this is an essential, fundamental belief of who God is. He is a he, and he is masculine. It's not up for debate. It's not up for whatever situation you're in. God is masculine. Now, third, God is the creator. And this is something many of you know well, but it is something we must believe, that God created. Genesis 1:1, you've probably never heard this verse in your life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I know we know this well, but we need to understand it's essential of who God is. We also see in Jeremiah 33, verse 2, "Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it." And notice those lords there, all caps, that is the name of God. That would be Yahweh if we translated it to the original language. God made the earth. And we must believe this about God. He is the creator. Now, fourth. And we're going to look at this next Wednesday, but just to introduce you to it right now, kind of like get you prepped for it, God is triune. If we break down that word, tri means three, and un means one. Yeah, so God is three persons in one. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each is fully God, and each is its own person. Fully God, separate in roles, fully one, but also very distinct. And there's nothing on planet Earth that is like it. And we're going to spend all of next week looking at it. But here's where we see clear as water, the proof of the Trinity when Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. Oh man, is that verse not posted? Oh, there it is. So Matthew 3, verse 16. When he had been baptized, that's Jesus, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice, the voice of God the Father, came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Here we have every aspect of the triune God displayed simultaneously. So we know that they are not like at one point they're this and at one point they're that, and we're going to get into this next week, so I'm not going to talk all about it. But here's the essential belief about who God is. God is triune. We must believe that as Christians. We must believe this about who God is. God is triune. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Also, God has a personality. Kind of obvious, but we need to surface it. We need to discuss this. God has a very distinct personality, and we're able to get to know him personally. I love what Gail Irwin, he just does it so well, displaying the description of God's personality. And he takes this directly from Exodus 34, verse 6. He says, God is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, punishing only those who hate him. God has a very complex and a very intricate personality that is unchanging, and we are able to get to know him. God has a personality. We must believe this. God is not some, like, faceless, nothingless, like, no personality, no emotion being that, like, lives in the world and just, like, lets things happen. No, God has a personality, and you can get to know that personality personally. Ooh, that's a lot of persons in there. Last but not least, and this is, I think, most important to us this evening. All of the list is very important, but I think this will apply to us in a specific way. We are similar to God. Somebody say, what? What? This is the last thing you expected on the list, am I right? No? You say no? Yes, yes. So Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image. That wording right there is one of the other greatest proofs of the Trinity, because no, like, conscious thing has been created. So either God is schizophrenic or there's more. You see, Trinity? Yeah. Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So male and female are both in the image of God. That's another reason it's important to understand that God is not gendered. He's not male or female. He's not something like that. He's not a human male or a human female. He's masculine. He's spirit and he is masculine. And there's a lot of different ways that people interpret what that likeness may be. Some people think that it's simply to have dominion over every living thing, like it mentions in verse 26. Other people think that it means that we look similar to God. That's why we get so many of those paintings where God is like this huge buff human with an awesome beard, and he's like, oh, wow. Oh, humans, you're beautiful like me. Some people think it's a Trinity thing, so God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we are body, soul, and spirit. Most people, though, they believe that it's a mental and emotional likeness of God, and that is what sets us apart from the rest of creation. All of these interpretations aren't the focus. The way this is interpreted, it's not the essential. What matters most is that we believe that we as humans share something in common with God. And that commonality allows us to relate to him, and it allows him to relate to us. That is so important. I'm going to say it again. So what matters most about this point that we are similar to God is that we as humans share something in common with God. And that commonality allows us to relate to him, and it allows him to relate to us. So we are able to relate to God. in a way that nothing living on planet Earth or non-living, like a plant or a... No, they're not. They're not like... Okay, sure. Yeah, okay. Like a piece of drywall. I can't think of something non-living. A chair, a rock. Oh, yeah. But that is what separates us from all of creation. There's something that when God decided to create man and to create woman, he decided to put some of his likeness that he did nowhere else in creation and put that into man, into humans. And that allows us to connect with God in a way that nothing else in the world can. So this shows us that our relationship with God is very personal. There is something that you share with God that he relates to. There's something that God shares with you that he relates to. And so when we pray to God, when we worship him, he is not some distant off being, though he is omnipresent and omnipotent and omniscient and eternal, infinite, no beginning and no end. Though he is all of these things, able to exist outside of existence, he can still relate to you. And he can still relate to me. So God is very, very personal. Cool beans? Cool beans. So now we're going to break up into small groups. And we're going to discuss this. And I purposely didn't say why this is important. I kind of hinted at it in some points. But why are these important? This is going to be something you'll discuss in small groups. Who is God? I mean, maybe your answer has changed a little bit. But really focus in on that second question. Why should we believe these personal aspects of God? Specifically the ones in these lists. Why should we believe that God has a name? That God is named and he has one and he can share it with us and we can call him by it? Why should we believe that God is a he opposed to just being up for interpretation? Why should we believe that he is the creator? Why is that important? Why is it important to believe that he is triune? Why is it important to believe that he has a personality? And then lastly, why is it important to believe and to know that there's something about us that is similar to God? So talk about that. Also talk about how your week's going. Catch up with everybody. Jennifer's group, you guys are meeting with Terry because Jennifer couldn't make it tonight. And I think that's it. Let's pray, everybody, and then break up into small groups. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are a mighty, powerful, we can't comprehend how amazing you are. You're beyond existence. You're able to exist when nothing is. Your power is beyond anything we can imagine. But within all that, simultaneously, you are a person. You are a he. You have a name. You relate to us in a way that nothing else in creation can relate to you. So we pray that we would put these to heart. Though they are obvious to some of us, we pray that we would understand the importance of them and really apply them to our lives and to our mind and to our heart. Please be in our small groups, Lord. Be in everything that we say and do, and just unite us. Continue to unite us as family in you. We pray that we would hold one another accountable in the burdens and struggles that we face, but that we would also encourage one another in the joys that we come across in life. We pray that you would fill us all afresh with your Holy Spirit as we talk with one another. And we pray this in your name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Break up into small groups.